Miller.
Working with Iron Cutter has been a great experience from day one with the springing process. It's been a journey, but it was very quick to grow in, and throughout the season, it remained very durable, withstanding athletes' traffic and providing a safe space for them to play on. Not only is it very durable, but as well, it's very presentable to the crowd. It stripes very well. I know when you're trying to get a pattern on there, the game day pattern, it just wants to flow with the mower and the rollers. And I know a compliment that we got from a Prince William County School supervisor was he thought we weren't going artificial when all along it was a natural field, and that was not only a compliment for the program itself, but a compliment to Iron Cutter Grass, just showing how good of a product they provide and how good of a job we do with maintaining our fields and grass.
We were able to successfully develop a fertility plan that really demonstrated the strengths of Iron Cutter. With the challenges between the contractors and the weather here in Virginia, it showed resilience and really demonstrated how nice of this grass is. And being a golf guy, I've been around a lot of different Bermuda grasses, and I could really just see how this had a very nice color to it and a fine leaf texture. And also for a grow-in, our first three games, we only really had about one full divot, which has never happened here before. And it really showed just how durable and successful our growing was.
This episode of Tiger Turf Talk is brought to you by The Toro Company. For over 100 years, The Toro Company has been a leader in innovative solutions for turf maintenance. Through a strong network of professional distributors, Toro proudly offers a wide range of commercial-grade equipment. Visit Toro.com to explore their full lineup of products.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Tiger Turf Talk here live in Daytona Beach for SFMA 2024. Gosh, that number keeps getting way bigger. Yeah. We're here with Adam Russell with MVP Genetics. Specifically, we're going to be talking today about sort of our Iron Cutter growing year past from our last podcast, almost to the date, really. Crazy. How's your trip? How's everything going? We're excited to be here, obviously. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, a drive down just like you. Long. Glad to be here. Weather looks fantastic compared to what we came from, so... Yeah, that's really good.
For our watchers, that is the ocean right there.
Yeah, just a heads up. This hotel is in the ocean.
A nosedive into the water. You can't see the sand in the frame, just a heads up.
Shout out Comfort Inn for not being able to permit this place in 2024.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah, this is a once-in-a-lifetime. Nice place. Excited to be down here like always. I think it's going to be a great event. Talking to a bunch of people, everybody seems to be buzzing. Similar to Salt Lake City, just really looking forward to reconnecting and talking to people and just making new connections. Honestly, that's a fun for us, fun for me.
Absolutely. Now, let's get into it. 2022 Carolina Southeast Conference. You and I sat down at the Logans. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was like 9 o'clock at night, but we were talking sort of game plan of Iron Cutter. I remember making contact with you. Obviously, we had a field renovation coming up, and I didn't really know specifically what variety I wanted to go with. And what I always will tell everyone about you and what I love about you is that the first time we talked, you kept talking about, it's great. Obviously, there are other varieties that are fantastic as well. It's never just... I'm forcing Iron Cutter on you because that's what I'm all about. It's your brand and everything. But I think you probably remember the messages, but I was like, be biased. I want to hear what's so great about it.
You did. I felt like I was trying to talk you out of it.
For sure. But I mean, I think that's what's great about you and what has been phenomenal about everything that we've been able to accomplish with you guys supporting the program and the kids. And they have done a phenomenal job with it and loved every aspect of growing it in. But we sat at the Carolina show and we talked sort of game plan. So in your eyes, obviously, what were your sort of expectations and thoughts of, okay, we're finally doing it. We have hopes and aspirations. What were some of those things that you really thought would be beneficial for me that might not have happened, which we'll get into, but would have happened for the best opportunity for the Iron Cutter to really thrive?
Truly, I felt like setup wise, you were going to be in great hands. And you know, I knew you had to set up administration wise and from just the kids and support and just simple bodies to do a sprigging on something like this. You know, from the educational piece of it, that's the part that really got us excited, where it was, okay, you can take a next generation cultivar like Iron Cutter that we had really just brought out, that these kids will have not seen, that you hadn't really seen, mm-hmm. but looked good and it had the chance to do well. But for me, it was the education of your kids being able to go through a process, for them being able to see your process, mm-hmm. how it worked, what didn't, how we adjusted. We were there for support, get it in, grow it in, work with the sod farm, all the pieces of it. They were going to be able to go through that and have those teachable moments all the way through. And to me, that's truly was the thing that I got the most excited of. And it's mm-hmm. been one of the things from our projects that I look back on at this one, you know, because you don't get a chance to do that. And I never had a chance to do that when I was their age. Yeah. So from a personal standpoint and education standpoint, I was really excited about it, because it's like, it's once in a lifetime. You hope to recreate this over and over and over again for kids, because it puts them so far ahead. I did my first grow in when I was 24.
Yeah.
You know, these kids are doing it when they're 17, 18, 16, whatever it is. Like, they're so far ahead. They're almost a decade ahead, some of these kids, than where I was. You know, it's like you can set them up for success and get them to see, hey, it doesn't always go to plan. Like, it did not go the way we planned it out in Logan's, right?
Not at all. Oh, God. So, to give everyone sort of background on what we were trying to accomplish with what we had, you know, we were given an opportunity to save sort of our program as a whole. You know, I think that was the biggest thing, was the plans originally for Prince William County Schools was to go with an artificial turf surface, because every high school has it and every stadium. So one of the big things that we really were able to accomplish was preventing that, obviously, right? But with that comes, you know, additional cost, in the sense our practice field is artificial, but we need a new track on the game field. So we sort of were going to get a renovation out of it. And the original spec that they gave us, they actually plan on keeping about 35% of the field inside of the track, inside of all the construction that they wanted me to maintain throughout the entire thing. So I was like, A, you're crazy. B, that's dumb. C, can we please try and work together to get a better opportunity for our students, in the sense of obviously our program can learn, but also just overall safer surface. We've had grade problems for years when it came to the edges of our fields, talking, I mean, 2 foot drop from track to where the surface was, which was really unsafe. And we'll get into it here in a bit. Still not the best, but it's way better than what it was. And that's how I always remind myself, hey, be grateful for what is now, you know, better than what was. But we sat down before we had a conference call with the project manager. And I convinced them, hey, we need to redo the whole field with new irrigation, since the county's putting all these smart irrigation in. So we got that accomplished. And that was when we sat down to figure out everything with the Iron Cutter. One of the big things I think we said was trying to get a sand cap in, right? Yep. And we sat down. It was very funny. It was a great time. Shout out Bo Jumbercata with Landscape Supply. He was on the call too. But something that we've learned and what we sort of planned was, shoot for the sky and get maybe a little bit of what you actually want, you know? So what did we go for originally?
It was,
I just remember the guy's face in the meeting, guys. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, we blew him away. Even on virtual, you know, you could see his face and the color drain out and like his face drop. I think we asked for 10 inches, 8 or 10 inches we asked for. And what did we get?
Zero.
$0. And so we knew going into this, just like you said, shoot for the moon. Like, we knew we were going to get drawn back. Like, we knew, but which if you don't ask.
We were originally supposed to get 2 inches of sand. That was the new plan. They were going to do that for us. And again, like you said, everything just changes like in the moment. And I just want to punch something and it's like bang.
Well, we knew we were sick, because we looked at what's the bare minimum we thought that we could get away with and have a high performance field. Yep. And then when you get that taken away, it's like, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah.
So it's not like your field is at this crazy negative.
Yeah.
It's still better than what you had before, because we got new irrigation and we've got better grades and, you know, we've got new generation cultivars in there. But we knew, like, okay, if we can get this in, we're ahead.
Yeah.
And then once we didn't, it was like, okay, here's the challenge. And this is the fun part for me, is what do we do now? and that part of, okay, we're gonna dovetail from here and do X, Y, and Z. You know, we're gonna poke more holes, we're gonna verticut, we're gonna introduce sand, heavy top dressing. Maybe the maintenance budget is bigger than the construction budget long term in the life of the field. But once they said you don't get X, and that kept drawing further and further down. It started at 8 to 10 inches and kept going, you know, to essentially nothing, and you know, you'll take what you get and like it kind of thing. And then we
got to that point. We got to that point for sure. I think the big one was, you know, it was a big blow when they took the sand away.
Yeah.
But we kind of just, we were like, okay, this is what we have. I tried to make sure the grade was right. It was a nightmare. So our students spent over 15 hours picking rocks out of the soil. Like, it was just, and they had guys that spent 3 weeks doing it because we just kept getting on them. Like, guys, we can't have this. This isn't okay. Like, we can't. So they came in and blackavated and thought that would fix it and did all this stuff. I'm like, guys, this isn't how this works. Like, this is not going to turn out well. And I mean, there was some stuff in that field that I don't even know where it came from. But the sand got taken away because the track was uneven the way it was poured last time. So when they removed it, there was landmass missing underneath the track. So they were shocked it didn't sink. And just, you know, it is something that, we really didn't see having like a fix for it. You know, it was like, okay, well, this is what it is now. But, we got soil tests done. Again, thank you, Bo, for everything that you did.
Absolutely.
So you, me, and Will sat down. I don't know if you remember specifically what the soil tests were, but we were pretty evenly low on everything.
Yeah, it was what I would call a marginal soil test. It's not the worst I've seen by far, but it wasn't optimum either. Like, it looked like a 20-year-old field, and it looked like we were going to have to do some improvement on it, and we did. We were able to adjust, but we worked through it. And I think, you know, being able to fight for, okay, I want this and I want this, and then the administration and stakeholders say you get X, and then we make adjustments off of that. You
know? So the starting point for us was obviously the soil test, as it is for everybody that does anything like this. But that's when you and Will came in, and it was just sort of, okay, how do we want to meet what we need on a weekly basis? Past that, obviously looking towards the future. When it comes to the health of the field, how we're going to get it to where we want it to be. Obviously, I think the biggest thing was that Will and I talked about were having a good mix, not just putting out the same thing, putting out some organic with some synthetic, making sure that we have a good mixture. And I think something that, again, you've been successful with at Northwestern, and obviously I think we've done pretty good at Brentsville.
That's the field of the year.
Thank you. Was low rates weekly, just staying on top of it, baby feeding it. And then obviously there are certain things that happened while we were there, but what was sort of your guys' mindset for our sort of process and what our hopes were? And specifically, what was something that you thought I absolutely needed to do to make sure that ensure that we would have a product that would make a field of the year?
I mean, consistency. I think a lot of things were changing for you at once, and we went from potentially a sand cap field and having some sand in the upper layers to essentially a native soil field modified. And so that's where Will and I switched our mindset to low and slow, and we knew that there was adequate nutrients depending on what it was in the soil, and it was just bringing pH up, and it was just stimulating the plant once we got it in place to get it grown in as fast as possible, right? But fast is often not the goal for us. It's, yeah, we want it as fast as possible, but we want it as strong as possible. Yeah. And so the durability to get that in and to feed it in a way where, yeah, you had some organics, you had some synthetics, you had liquid, you had granular. We wanted to put that in, you know, and talking about PGR, talking about, you know, what are we going to put on here once we encounter some weeds, you know? And so everything was for the total health of the plant to keep increasing.
Yeah.
And it was a native soil profile. So we're treating it differently than we would a sterile sand environment. But 100%. For us, it was low and slow.
Yeah.
Keep going low and slow and see what we get.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing that we saw specifically on site at Brentsville was that it wasn't slow to start spreading. It was the color didn't show up until like the third or fourth week, you know, when it was And obviously, it works for different varieties and everything. And we had talked about that. Just be prepared for this and that. But the creeping really started about the fifth week. And Will was incredible because he had, you know, the understanding of, okay, we have to put also a certain amount of gypsum out, a certain amount of, you know, lime, whatever it is we're trying to accomplish. I think the thing that intrigued me so much about talking to Will is he was so much less about the actual fertility and so much more about ensuring that the chemistry was occurring for the plant itself and ensuring that, you know, the soil was at a healthy balance for pH and the impact that would have on the iron cutter. Because another story on my part, for our grow-in, there was a very huge challenge to come over. We were sitting, when did I text you? I think it was like beginning of August,
week one. Yeah, sounds about right. It was starting to get into critical time.
Yeah, so we were getting into that time frame where obviously we had good coverage right around the beginning of August, not nearly where we want it to be for game one, you know, like just game one. We don't want it, you know. It wasn't patchy or anything. It was just, you know, we needed a little bit more, you know, coverage in the sense of density. And obviously that's what was, that's the thing that shined the most, honestly, once we got it where we needed it to be. But back to the challenge, something that we did not expect, because I was insured by the guy who was scared shitless by Adam when it came to trying to fix our field completely, was we were told that we had complete access to the field the day of the springing. And I do want to get back to that here in a second. Springing date we had talked about and they changed it, obviously, shocker. But we were told that we had full access no matter what, doesn't matter what the track's doing. We need to have that. Obviously, we want to be sure we have that. But one of the big things that happened was the contractor works with other contractors and those contractors don't go by the terms of the original contractor. And so we're sitting here like, I think it was August 2nd. I was very angry. That's how I remember it. I don't get that angry that often. So, it started, we just put a fertility app out. We turn the water on and the guy walks up. He's like, "Hey, you're going to turn the water off, right?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Well, we need the field, you know, for like 3 weeks." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, we're painting the track and everything. I was like, "Okay, what does that have to do with anything on the field? That's a track." So we turned into this sort of screaming match where my athletic director had to come in, and it was very interesting. He got it down to 4 days in the negotiations, which they were lying about. So
I was going to say, and then?
And then, so I'm sitting here. I can't get a mower on it. I can't get water on it. I can't get fertility. I can't do anything. For 4 days. I'm like, okay, I can breathe for that. You know, like, day 8 comes by, day 12 comes by. I think it was 14 days that we were sitting there without touching the field. And it was just, this moment of pure, like torture and horror. Like, oh my God, like, I'm going to disappoint Adam. I'm going to disappoint everyone else. Everyone's going to judge our program because they did this and we deal with that. And I think that's what I love about this industry, because everybody has that. And there are,
we've been through some, maybe not that much. That's tough.
That's a little crazy, but.
But we've all had our I'm helpless moment. Yeah, what do I do?
For sure. So we came in, we had to scalp it. And that was a whole other thing. I had a conversation with you about what should we be doing specifically. Like what I like. Sorry, I'm going to do PG on that. But I remember sending you pictures of it and everything, and I was like, this is not good. This is not good. They also covered 7 feet around the halo of the track with plastic for 3 of those days, so that got burnt up.
That's the one I was worried about.
I was like, why do you need that? Like, what are you doing? Like, that needs to be folded over every day that you're not doing anything. They're like, well, we're painting. I'm like, I don't care.
That was a rough one.
It was not pretty. But we sat down, we talked. I think we were not excited. My biggest concern was chopping it, going down to back to a half an inch. Like it was not, I did not feel comfortable. I was like, this is going to like kill it. Like we're just going to destroy it. Obviously not kill it, but it's going to be, I don't even know what it was to expect, but you know.
That's where I felt the best, honestly. I mean, we selected this grass, And we knew, based on managing it for as long as we had, that it was a grass that loves to be ripped, that loves to be scalped, that to respond, even at the early sprig level, but growing in, it's almost like the more that you can do like that, it stimulates it.
Yeah.
And so I've seen hard scalps at sod farms. I've seen, you know, verticuttings. I've seen aggressive aerifications. I've seen a number of cultural practices that most people go, that's kind of rough.
Yeah.
And iron cutters responded to it. And so having gone through that, to give you enough confidence to go, I'm not worried at this stage. We need to do something.
Yeah.
We need to stimulate it. We need to get it on the right path because we've been off of it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so, you know, while you were nervous and I could tell, it was, I know this one's going to work.
For
I don't know how well it's going to work, but I know this is not going to set us back.
Absolutely.
And I think by giving you that, it was, okay, now we got a plan. Now we got a
way. I was like, okay, we're good. We're going to keep going.
Baseball season is upon us. Toro's Field Pro 6040 was created with ball fields in mind. The Field Pro's multi-tool system allows four tools to be carried at once, significantly reducing the time required preparing infields. Scarifying, grading, and dragging can now be completed in a single pass, saving you time and effort. Visit Toro's website today to learn more about the Field Pro 6040.
The big thing was once we got that done was getting, so we just blew the field off. We weren't going to try and even catch buckets or anything. That wasn't going to happen. But we got it down. We still had pretty good coverage for not getting any input or anything. And what was crazy, and I don't know how it happened. It was 100% the iron cutter that did it. But we got everything cleared out. And so we had not talked about doing any aerification or anything like that. So I ended up solid tiny it. I didn't do cores because I didn't want to mess with anything too much. But the area that was really struggling, I think it had to do with the grading and the not removal of the surface, was our oval. So we talk about pretty much the sideline on a football field. Around it was like rock hard. And I remember sending you pictures and you're like, yeah, I mean, that kind of looks like something.
It was off.
It was like, there was a distinct line. I'm like, why? What is going on right now? So we ended up solid tining it. That, so we did everything once, and we did the halo twice. So I think it's like six passes with a 648 around the halo, and then we top dressed the living crap out of it. that was sort of the plan, because obviously, you know, your big thing, we wanted to do top dressing earlier on because of the heat that is, you know, added to what was pretty moderate of a spring, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Very mild. It was very mild. We didn't really have the heat, which originally, what was the sprigging day? I think it was like we planned it perfectly because we expected what they were going to do.
Yep.
We wanted to do, I think we told them like May 20th.
Yes.
And we really wanted like June 2nd, right? That's what we want. I think that's what we planned
on. No, that's exactly right.
And it worked perfectly. It was a little bit later than June 2nd. It was like June 7th was the day it happened.
Yep.
And for those that, again, I haven't told this story yet either. Again, when you have a project that has a spec that no one's going to follow, they can pretty much do whatever they want. And they can't be in trouble. They don't care. Like, I was like, I'm sure that these guys hated me for the amount of work they had to do, because I was like, this is wrong. We got to do this. We got to do that. It was so frustrating because no one was on the same page.
Yep.
And I'm sitting here like, just listen to me. You can do what I say and it'll be fine. Like, you don't need to do anything else. Just focus on what I'm trying to tell you. And that sounds super cocky and super terrible. And I hate when I talk like that, but I was so frustrated on certain things that it was just continuously like, oh my gosh, guys, like, what are we doing? So irrigation, they had this contracted out through our county, not through their contract. So the irrigation took forever. And so we're at June 2nd and I'm like, guys, this isn't done. We need to like water the field and everything. And some reason Prince William County, and that's not a knock on the new guys that are coming in. There have been multiple situations. You saw the soil test from my brother's field, which is wow.
Really bad.
That was the worst soil test I think I've ever seen, which they're getting a new field. That's so nice. We got that. The big thing is the fact that we didn't get any water on the field until 2 days before was like, what are we doing, eh? And they had already graded the field, like, oh, we're done. I'm like, no, you're not. We need to make sure that this is done correctly after you've settled everything, after everything's ready to go. Like, we need this close to, you know.
You're holding them accountable the whole way. You know, like, you're having uncomfortable conversations, which is tough, but it's necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to be a jerk or be, you know, awkward or whatever.
I was a jerk sometimes. I apologize, guys.
But then, you know, they weren't doing what you knew needed to be done. And so you try to get them on track as best you can.
Yeah.
And then you make concessions all the way through. I mean, it's people working with people. So you can't just go, I'm going to do it my way. It's a public school and a high-end public school. Yeah. And, like, even though you've won all these Field of the Years and it's a very important field in our world, you know, to a contractor, it's like every other field. And they're going to do it like every other field unless you tell them differently. And your students got to see that. Like, I thought that was really cool. Yeah. This whole way, we're just adjusting off the adjustments. And so it's like nothing stayed the same. And it's never linear. Like, I've never had a plan yet where the as-builds were exactly to spec and exactly the plan.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
That's the art of what we do and what you guys do. It's like, you know, because you've done it X number of times. Mm-hmm. Well, now your students just got to go through it a first time, but they got to see, okay, nothing is static. Like, everything's going to change here and be ready for it. And just like us, we knew we were going to get shifted. So we negotiated back and said, why not May 20th? And if we got May 20th, we could live with that. We got longer time. But if not, then we're still in our green zone.
For
you know, whatever. So,
And I think that's the coolest thing that a lot of people don't know about our grow-in is that everything really was done by our students. I was there the whole time, except for the first 2 weeks, actually, believe it or not. I had alumni come back who are golf course superintendents and whatnot and did the fertility apps and did all the work for that. And I think that just speaks volumes to what we're doing and how we've been able to get kids in the industry to come back and help with something that, like this high of a, you know, job for it. So, our students firsthand everything through the season, fertility apps, all the everything. It was just incredible to to see them, you know, take it head on and completely own it and, you know, thrive. And I can't thank you enough for all that you did for that and continue to do for that. But the big thing that I always like, it was, and again, you can speak to this just from working in this industry. The moment that I was like, holy shit, we did it, was our first game was September 1, I believe. So it was September 30th, 31st. Don't, hold on. No, the last day of September. We were painting because we didn't have school a day before, so we were staying late working. But I think I texted you a picture of like just the final like field that day. And I was like, holy shit. Like,
we made it.
I don't even know what happened to get to this point. Like,
you did the right things. You did the right collection. Yeah, but you feel like you failed the whole time and it turned out right.
Yeah, yeah. So,
your students deserve all the credit. You deserve all the credit. Like, no, the grass guys, did what it was supposed to do.
I mean, Will and you just were phenomenal and instrumental in us just making sure that we did something right.
Well, like, for us, me and Will, like, we feel like we owe it to you. You know what I mean? Like, you took the risk, and I thought it was so cool when you mentioned on a previous podcast, like, you guys have got six different Bermuda grasses. Yeah. Like, I didn't know how many cultivars. So it's really like a teaching lab. So part of your decision, you know, to choose Iron Cutter was that, like, to give students a nut. I mean, again, on their resumes, they can list, I've worked with six different Bermuda grasses. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just now getting to the point where I've worked on six different Bermuda grasses, right? Like, they're so far ahead. But so don't we owe it to you to be at least there with support and, you know, any questions or challenges or whatever? Like, we have that framework set up and we have the experience, and Will certainly much more than I has been through those battles and seen like what happens when it all goes crazy.
For sure.
And so we're able to give you confidence enough that, hey, I can pull this off. And then you made the right moves and the field responded because it was bred well and it's great and it's a powerful cultivar.
Yeah.
But you did the right things to stimulate it, and you get to the end and it's like, we did it. Mission accomplished.
Yeah. And it's something that I hate saying stuff like this because I feel like I'm just bragging, but I'll brag for my kids. My brother, who's a teacher he's a baseball coach, the field, the one with the soil test. He worked on grounds for Virginia Tech for a while when he was in college, and he's seen fields and worked on fields as well. And he had came out that night. He's like, hey, this rivals any surface that I worked on at Tech, at Virginia Tech, and in Lane Stadium. And I'm like, I would never say that, but yeah, like,
it was a pro level field.
It was insane. Like, the product that was out there was just like, I can't even, you know, remotely come close to understanding what happened, you know?
16, 15, 17 year old kids.
Yep.
Produced a professional level field.
Yeah, it was pretty, it's pretty incredible.
It's everything your programs wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the cool thing for me is like, you had a once in a lifetime shot for those kids that did it, and they did it. Like, I didn't know if they could do it.
Yeah.
You didn't know if they could do it. I didn't know if you could do it, but you did it.
Yeah.
And that's such a cool thing to celebrate to me because, yeah, when you sent that picture, it was immediate. It was like, it's there.
We did it.
We did it. It was a
we have arrived.
And I can't imagine going through all that from your end. Like, yeah. I just got to get the pictures and I got to give, you know, challenges and get beyond that and give advice, you know, based on where I've been. But you did it. Like, every single one of you did it instead of me. I didn't run the pro corps. I didn't scalp it.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, you got to be the person that says, oh, we're going to do X. And then you went out and scalped it to get where it was.
Yeah.
So that was the neat thing.
The other thing that I loved about the process was working with Collins Worth.
Collins Worth.
Collins Worth was incredible. You know, they were working with us from start. Jason came out, and it was just, hey, we want to be here. We want to make sure we're doing this. And then Eddie, who runs the whole thing, you know.
Eddie Moore.
Like, there was no reason for him to come all the way out. You know, like, he has so many more important things to do, but he wanted to be there for ours specifically. And they dealt with a huge issue for us. And so I was talking about earlier irrigation. We had an issue come up middle of, you know, them actually getting the irrigation on, and they didn't wire something correctly or whatnot. Like, I was not allowed to be involved in any of it, and it was like, okay, fine. But they soaked the living shit out of one end. And I think I sent you those pictures. Yeah. I could be wrong, but the one end literally, like, you couldn't step on it without sinking 6 inches into the ground. So for those that don't know, the entire area within the track is iron cutter, and the far side, pretty much probably 75% of the out of play area, you couldn't walk on. And so I call Jason, hey bud, I know you've gotten these calls before, have you started cutting that grass yet? He's like, maybe. I was like, oh no. I was like, can we move it back like 2 days? But really, it wouldn't have made a difference with how bad it was. Like, so they came out, and I felt terrible because the stupid freaking company that was our installers, like, they wouldn't allow him to turn on the track. So, like, that added a whole new level of, like, you know, he's turning on the soil. Like, how is he not going to move soil? Which is not his fault. But, like, he worked so well, and our kids were involved in the whole thing. One of the big things was, you know, certain things. We went a little heavier.
Yep.
Our bushels were 800, 900. Okay, so I'm sorry, I don't have all this written down. I apologize. But there were certain areas where stuff would fall a little heavy. Kids would go and spread it out with their hands, and they hand-sprigged the entire part of the ends of the field. And
well, now you can do a putting green. Like, now, if you can do that, you can do a putting green.
Exactly.
Like, it dovetails. Like, some of that stuff's going to matter.
Yeah.
Because somebody's going, hey, can you know how to hand-sprig? And they're like, yeah, I can do it. It's not hard. It's just going through it, not being able to say no. So, but, you know, Jason and Eddie, to have that continuity, to have a sod farm with their own sprigging service, which is not that old, by the way. They took a risk and started that a couple years ago.
Yeah, for sure.
But they're the absolute right sod farm to do that. Like,
they were just the right distance. It wasn't like a big like move for them to come down to us, but I mean, it was perfect.
Thinking about like when we cut it, you know, when they cut, and doing what you can
to
cut and getting out there and sprigging.
And that was what was incredible about it. Like, what we've done other fields on our, obviously the five different varieties, three of them were hand sprigged by our kids. So like the quality of the sprig that came in was like insane. I had never seen such fresh sprigs in my entire career. Like, it was like they cut it that evening at like 7 p.m.
Yep.
And they were there at 7 a.m. Like,
huge difference to like, have that overnight just, cooling period.
Yeah. And I mean, it was just like, thank you. It was like, I mean, we've had certain sprigs that have come in that were like 2 days old. I'm like, this is not good.
And that transplant shock and that dieback that happens, mm-hmm. I mean, there really is a shot clock. And we try to tell people it can happen all the time.
Yeah.
But if you're with a sod farm and you can have that continuity to talk to them, having them cut later in the day and then having that chill period. You don't think about it very much, but for a sprig on Bermuda grass, like having that night to cool off mm-hmm. and then planting it, you will see less dieback.
Yeah.
You will see better emergence and quicker emergence, and the sprig will get off to a healthier life cycle.
For sure.
With all that you threw at it, like that's the kind of stuff that Collinsworth thinks about mm-hmm. and can do and is willing to do. For a lot sure. of sod farms aren't willing to do that.
No. No, they're like, no, you're getting what you get.
Yeah, when you get it. You know, and so I think that's a testament to them that they did it that way. But it helped. It helped produce what you got in the end. It helped us get there.
And honestly, like it was insane. You know, we had a situation where, again, the grading. The big thing about the grading, they just didn't care, to be honest. 100% honest with you. Like we tried so hard to get them to regrade things, to get them to understand this isn't level. Hey, you have this wrong. I just didn't give two shits, pardon my French. And I tried to get a company to come out. I was going to call Chris with Carolina Green. I was like, hey, you're in D.C. right now. You want to come out for like 15 minutes? Like, right down the road, man. Love you, Chris.
But the thing is, it's still better than what it was.
Yes, 100%.
That's the thing. As much as you didn't get what you wanted, it's still better.
One of the issues that we had was the field goal post was sinking. Not the field goal post itself, because they had a concrete sleeve set, everything around it. They didn't backfill or they didn't do something. And so we asked them to, you know, try and add some soil back, and we had grown it in, and they just literally just dumped the soil on top of it. I was like, yeah, that'll come through. And this is like a week and a half before the first game. Like, yeah, that's going to be fine. We're going to do great. And I was like, geez, Louise. And my AD goes, can we get some sod? I was like, probably we can ask. So I call him up, and God bless my AD, Seth Cameron. Huge shout out to you. He drove up and grabbed the sod and brought it back. He's actually coming down. It'll be awesome.
I didn't know that. That's seriously awesome. Yeah. Like, how many, but you've built that community to do that. Like, he trusts you and he's seen some of the.
I'm excited to introduce you to him. He's coming the second half of the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it'll be his first time. It'll be awesome. But he got it. We got a ton of sand and just fill it in. It's still settled low than it was, but I wasn't gonna be too concerned about it. It was better than what it was.
So. Gotta roll with it.
I mean, what's great that the major screw ups were in the end cap, so it's not in the field of play. But there are certain areas that we have to evaluate and sort of go at, whether it's a phrase mow, whether it's a. We have a two rows on the far side of the field that we probably need to sod cut, remove some stuff, and lay it back down.
Yep.
So, I mean, it is what's crazy about everything to me was sort of just the, and again, this is just my opinion in the sense of dealing with it. And you always texted me those Friday nights for the games and everything. It's like, how's it look? How's it going?
I was nervous, man. I'm like,
The first two games, literally like nothing. Like, yeah, I said,
like, do y'all play football in this field?
I sent you both of them. I was like, why? Like, it doesn't make any sense. You know,
when it got fun.
It was like, literally like, I mean,
there's nothing there. There's no
a week and 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were talking about like, it's not going to grow in because we hadn't touched it in 17 days or 15 days, whatever it was. You know, it was like, what the shit?
Northwestern didn't experience what you experienced, but they saw the same thing. It's like, all of a sudden you start playing on it. It's like, there's nothing there. It's surface debris. It's, you know, it's very, very little. You don't have any massive divoting. And it was, I mean, you had a good team this year.
Good
you know?
Team with, you know, we got some big guys, and the other teams probably had bigger guys. So it's not like we had like kindergartners playing on the field.
Right.
You know, they're hefty, and we got a couple D1 guys. Like, that's kind of unheard of for our school. So it's like, it was probably one of the highest traffic fields in our county, and the compliments, the people, everything. The post that I put up about, the county official. Do you remember that post?
Yeah, the one about he thought it was plastic. He thought you went plastic.
Yeah. That was pretty. So for those that don't know, we had a high-ranking official in our school system that was like, I thought Brentsville wasn't putting artificial turf in the field. And I was like, why don't you walk out there and check, man?
Just go smell it. Go put your hand down and feel it.
Yeah, it was really, that was a pretty big moment for us that year at the start of the season. It was just like you and I always get into it about, you know, the artificial versus natural.
And I'm a hardliner, man.
No, and my thing is like, I'm with you, but at the same time, like certain situations call for the artificial, and 100% like there are certain like a Daniel Cito, like what he does, like at his level with like 75 teams on the same field, like certain things, it makes sense. Right. But it's been an issue for me in our county, the way they're maintained, in the sense they're told that it's, there's no like maintenance. You don't have to do anything to it. And
I've been the most critical about that.
I think that's the biggest issue that I have, is that you talk to certain NFL guys and they're getting new surfaces every 2 years. And we're also discounting the fact that they're professional groundskeepers who take care of that at a level that no one in a high school knows or understands or has the resources to put it in. Like I think it might have been, it's either Shaw's or Hella, whatever it is.
Hellas.
I think it's like $15,000 of maintenance per year. No one's putting $15,000 of those fields. And they're putting way more people on it than they should, you know, like they're put into a sense of the fact that, like, you know, you talk about like you think that everything's going to be fine and you think that everyone's going to be okay. And you have kids who are on their 10th or 11th year on a field and the fibers are gone. There are low spots and no one's doing anything or saying anything. There's been no clay hammer on it. There's been no.
I hadn't even thought about
check, it. Check, right? And it's something that, you know, I think with our new leadership, they're starting to see that. And I've made certain people aware, and they're going to be like, okay, well, that's definitely something we want to look into. That, again, it's insane to me. But to be able to, you know, have that moment where, like, we proved them wrong, in a sense.
You educated them. They thought, well, you fought for it. It was going to be plastic. You fought for it and then produced, even with all those challenges put up against you. You know, if you'd have gone plastic, maybe you don't have those challenges. Maybe the contractor's done so many of these and not done it to your level with a natural field, but just from repetition. But, like, I've always said, like, if we can get that quality of education in the natural, like, there's so many people on the plastic side, and this is why I am a hardliner. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many people on the plastic side that if they were to put all that energy into creating better natural fields, think about where we would be, like intelligence-wise, development-wise, research-wise, like where we would be if you could take what you did and the knowledge that you did. From a exposure standpoint, I've said, like, the school's round desk, you know, like you can't have scissors anymore. Yeah, and you put kids out on what may be the most unsafe thing on at the school.
Yeah.
And nobody's looking at it like that. From a risk exposure standpoint, I truly think it's one of the most injurious things that you can encounter as a kid at a school when they're not done correctly. And most of the time they're not done correctly.
And that's my biggest thing. It's just, if we are like pushing all this info and this knowledge on the fact that, oh, well, we don't need to be doing all that, but you do. And it needs to be, you know, at a level in which you can keep it safe for a kid. And that's, I mean, I've seen it with my own students. You know, I have a student, she's coming to the conference, and she tore her ACL, wanted to be a D1 lacrosse player, and tore her ACL on a, like, 10-year-old field at CNU down at Christopher Newport University. And it's like, those things can be avoided, you know?
100%.
And I'm not saying that natural grass is without, you know, those things, but you look at certain things like Aaron Rodgers. Like, that was... yes, the force of a person, but at the same time, there was no give on his shoe or on his cleat. And it's like, hey, maybe it would have gone different.
Every week I go on Twitter, seemingly, and you'll point out from the injuries, you know, you'll see Jair Alexander was one that, you know, put up. I mean, there's just week after week after week where you're seeing catching and holding and not releasing and force an injury go into knees and ankles and, you know, ligaments and tendons and... it's not a good situation. Environmentally, it's not a good situation. Like, I'm a
conservative
person.
That's the part that
I
still don't get. I still don't get that either.
It's
where do they go to recycle them?
It's ridiculously awful.
Like, it costs almost as much to recycle it as to buy it.
There's not a place to recycle it. You basically burn it or turn it into something else. It's not a recycling is not what you do with that. That's not the definition of recycling. So that's my part, is where I get the hardliner and I'll wear it.
Yeah.
Because I think if we took all that energy and all that intelligence, because there's some crazy intelligent people on the plastic side. Mm-hmm. If we took all of that and threw it into natural, how good would we be on a safer field?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much better would we, how far would the science, all that research and development money that plastic has, mm-hmm. if you put that in natural, where would we be? We would be so far beyond where we
are. My thing is, like, you talk about the hybrid pitches, like, you're still getting your synthetic in there, but at the same time, like, you lose the idea of, you know, a full, like, wear and tear of the sense of the body and being
it's still
casual.
Better.
Yeah.
I mean, I see plastics down behind my house are 7 county fields that are all plastic. And also right behind my house is a creek, you know, that feeds into a large river body with a lot of fish in it. And you see microplastic shedding, you see blade shedding from some of these fields, and you know, it's still happening.
Yeah.
You know, with the hybrid fields, are they, I think, better environmentally, you know, but there's still a lot of plastic in there,
you know?
So it's like, can we continue to mitigate that? Can we continue to push 100% natural? Can we continue to push that science ahead to go, hey, how do we make this more durable? You know, how do we make this truly recyclable and environmentally friendly?
And you and I have talked about World Cup and FIFA and everything that they're doing with that. I feel like that's a huge proponent of where we're going, you know.
Soccer's been the drumbeat for 100% natural for a long time. They're accepting, you know, hybrid, and I think we can be accepting a hybrid with more science. Mm-hmm. I think we need more research and more study on it, and John Sorokin and Tennessee and Michigan State, Trey Rogers and their teams are doing that for FIFA. So that's going to be the catalyst.
Yeah.
And welcome that, you know, but I think it's going to get us to a better place on both
for
plastic
sure.
and natural and hybrid.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to push the industry further, and we need that. We still need so much more. There are so many things where I talk to people every day and they're like, we haven't studied that enough. And there's like, no, there's not enough research dollars in the pipeline to do it. Like, we barely have enough to do our own stuff.
For sure.
We would rather all the land-grant universities be able to study this to tell us what's safe, what's not, what's a better way to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then be able to take it to your kids, who are hopefully industry leaders by that point, and teach them. And then teach your stakeholders.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
This is the better way to do it, and here's the data points of how we solved it.
Yeah.
You know, unless you give somebody hardline data, say this is better than X, then you can't continue to make incremental progress, I think.
For
so
sure.
We have to do that. And we are doing that, just a little bit slower than I want.
Yeah, and I think what's great is that we really have made such big strides. You know, when you talk about where we were even 6 years ago, when you talk about pre-COVID, like, talk about minor league baseball and all the changes that have come with the PDL, PCL, whatever it is. Like the standards that are set, which have provided opportunities for minor league groundskeepers to better their assistants, have assistants, you know, like, you have to have assistant to be a minor league affiliate. Like, that's something new that, you know, certain people were stuck with part-time people. And it was like, are you kidding me? Like, how are they
look
doing
at the NFL?
Work?
Look at the NFL.
Yeah.
We played 2 of the worst games, opposite coast, opposite extreme weather.
Rain
Levi's
awful.
Where they've had issues 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Flawless.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was
like,
incredible.
Nobody said anything, you know, and that, it's like, that's
what I talked to.
That's the best, right?
I talked to Nick earlier today with the Jags. Like, there's no, it might have been someone else. I'm sorry. Sorry, Nick, if it wasn't that. I think it was you. Was no one ever makes a comment when it works.
You don't get a high five.
No,
it's like umpires.
Yeah.
If you don't see them,
100%.
Then we get the high fives behind the scenes. But nobody, the sportscaster never goes, oh, how good was that field?
Like the Raiders end zones the other day. Like, guys, are you serious? Like,
you're painted black all year. What do you think?
Well, it's been painted all black. And do you see the rest of the field that people actually play on?
Flawless.
And they do all their warm-ups in that end zones. Like, they look fine when they warmed up.
To see those two fields, though, and just to see that kind of weather come through, to have those two opposite types of
100%.
Weather, cold and then have rain all game.
And they have
both of them scaled up at that exact moment and played fantastic.
Yep.
And it's like, that's what we can do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what maybe we weren't doing 6, 10, 15 years ago. There were some flawless fields out there, but I don't think there was the number. We didn't have the inventory on it like we do right now.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see that filter down to your kids.
Yeah.
That's cool to see it filter to people that weren't educated about this. And how good is it? How hard it is to rain all game long with 350-pound guys beating each other.
Yeah.
And that field's not tearing up, and we're not divining, or we're slipping. You know, it's like that wasn't happening in San Francisco, that extreme cold. And yeah. we leveled up at the Ravens like that. Like, I say we. I didn't do anything. They did everything.
Yeah.
But, like, I say we as a collective industry because, like, I'm proud when somebody throws that out there because it's like they did it, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's the kind of stuff I like to celebrate and yeah. always will. You
yeah,
know, just like your
sure.
kids.
Yeah.
Like, your kids leveled up, and it's not very much different than those pros. They've just done it over and over and over again. Your kids got to do it this first time
mm-hmm.
at an age when nobody gets to do that. Like,
yeah.
that should be celebrated.
For sure. And sort of back to ours, you know, we, when we went into it, like, excuse me, we never looked at it as a grow-in, in a sense. Obviously, yes, we had that, but it was yep. the idea of longevity that really just, like, excited me about the whole process, because that's what we were talking about the entire time. When Will and I got on the phone, you and I got on the phone, we all three got on the phone, what are we doing for it for the spring? What are we doing for it for next year? What is it that we're going to be able to do, you know, moving forward, just to ensure that we have all this stuff, you know, and ensure that the iron cutter is doing what it needs to be doing, you know? And, you know, to be able to see where we're at now moving forward into the spring, I've got kids putting gross carbs on when we're gone. Sorry.
That's awesome.
Sorry, guys. But, you know, there are so many different things that you have seen in Iron Cutter, whether that's at Northwestern, whether it's other places. What are some of the things that you think that we need to do moving forward to ensure that we have that same high end, you know, national field of the year mm-hmm. moving forward and continuing? Because that's the standard now. That's what we have to have. That's just what we were going to be aiming for every time. Like, it has to be done. We've set that expectation with all of our community, all of our students. Like, they expect it to be the best. They expect to have good ball rule for soccer. They mm-hmm. expect it to just play the way it's supposed to. What do we need to do to make sure that happens?
I mean, certainly consistency in mowing, right? Like, the frequency and the consistency.
That
will
was
help.
One of the biggest things that I was scared of. You're like, mow it early. I'm like, what do you mean by early?
Yeah, as early as you can get on it,
exactly.
right? Like, people don't understand how aggressive you can be on this. And this is what the genetics, how they've improved and what's been bred into it. They can handle that,
yeah.
you know, without regressing. And so even more so now that you take it to a maintenance phase, like, we're in maintenance phase now. I'm trying to beat last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's our goal. That's your goal. That's your kids' goals. So how do we do it? Like, more frequency in mowing. You get a chance to mow it all year long. You know, you didn't have that chance last year,
mm-hmm.
okay? Introducing growth regulator. Like, Iron Cutter loves growth regulator.
Yep.
It does really, really well under a specific growth regime. And so introducing growth regulators to get it tighter, to
mm-hmm.
get it even more dense than it is and be
tighten the
more
tillers up, yeah.
So that way you can introduce more events on top of
mm-hmm.
it. So you can bring the band or whoever you want to out there. I don't know, outdoor church service, whatever you want. I want fields to get to that point where you're not scared of that. Right
yeah.
now you are, you know? It's like,
well,
you
it's not, say, I'm not afraid of the band. I'm just not a fan.
Yeah, so we want to get to that. Like,
yeah.
I want you to be able to say yes to everything because
yeah.
you've got that durable, bulletproof field that you know you can recover.
We do have a very interesting thing coming up, which I was going to talk to you about. We have a graduation and then a state semi if they go, which were state defending title champs from last year, which they're supposed to go back. But semi, the graduation is on Friday, game's on Saturday. And they need to put it on 3 days before or 4 days before.
Okay.
So it's like, so I'm trying to consolidate, like, Incomats and stuff and just trying to get everything, because we don't have those things. We're not
sure.
we're not equipped to
you don't have
things like that.
You don't have stadium floor.
Yeah, exactly.
Around.
Nothing like that.
Yeah.
What would you say? Like, just what are we focusing on here? Once we obviously have it growing again, you know, we're going to have... For those that don't know, we overseeded with
yeah.
lateral spreading ryegrass. Sorry, I forgot.
You're good.
Forgot to put that out. Which, by the way, for those that are interested, it overseeded beautifully. I mean, I think it was game four. No, not four. Five and six. We had to overseed on it. And then, obviously, like,
what rate did you go?
Playoffs. Pretty high. Put the whole pallet on it.
2,000 pounds
yeah.
over.
Yeah, yeah.
What, 65,000?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't do math.
And neither can I. I would tell you if I had done the math, but I didn't.
I went to public school, as I said.
Math's not my friend.
No. but a pretty heavy rate.
Yes, yes.
We designed,
it was probably about a little above 10.
We designed LS Perennial Ryegrass, and I say we are Mountain View C's business unit. We designed that to be specific to golf and sports surf. Mm-hmm. It's aggressive but durable, and it tillers very well, and you do get some lateral movement in it. And so it's very complimentary, and Iron Cutter is a very good overseeder. We've seen that going into the plant, you know, when you initially overseed it, and then we've seen transition off the back end.
Yeah.
So the hope is even going maybe a little heavy that you won't encounter some of those issues. But we're going to have to watch it. We're going to have to watch and see how late winter is.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to test and see what did we do anything with plant health? Did we do anything with the soil? So we're going to have to test those things. We can't understand and make changes and adjustments positively unless we understand what we've got. So we're going to test and figure out what did we do positively and negatively, and then we'll adjust. And then we can ramp it up, you know, for that event.
For
if we need to peak it and make sure that plant's actively growing, or if we need to feel like we shut it down for a little bit and regulate it, we can do that. So it can go both ways, but I want the plant's health to lead us, and I want the numbers to lead us based on what we can draw out.
For those that are interested, the way that we did, we slit seeded two different directions, and then we put broadcast out just so we had good coverage and
great methods.
You know, by doing the slit seeding, you ensured we had good, you know, contact with the soil. And we really got the broadcast just to not get rid of your lines when you're slit seeding, but like just sort of coverage and everything. And we introduced it after games. It wasn't like it was planned like immediately after you slit seeded. It was, okay, let's go out, you know, five bags after our game, five bags after the next game. So, you know, it went really well. It held color. I mean, the Iron Cutter held its color really late. I mean,
y'all played as late as you ever did.
Yeah, December 1. God bless.
Whew. Good team.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out Coach White. You know, we appreciate you. That's what we're here for. What's great about our team this year, probably the six top guys were all turf guys. Our quarterback, wide receiver.
I knew that.
Safety. Our backup quarterback who had to play the second half because our number one, QB1, got hurt. But, yeah, they're all turf guys, and they all took care of the field. And
you take ownership that way. My baseball coach had a hand in where I'm at right now, where I was a catcher, and he said, if there's a problem with the field, this is your area.
Yep.
You know, and it's like you take care of your area. If it doesn't look good.
A catcher too, by the way. Nice.
Solid. And so – it was my fault, you know, but I had ownership in that area, and that's kind of planted a little seed. Like, looking back, it was like I got excited when I, you know, make sure that it was dialed in for what I thought,
you know,
back then. But it was like I was taking ownership, and to have those same kids on the football team take ownership of the place they play on, like, that's pretty rare, and that's also pretty cool. And they cared about it, right? And it made them shine, hopefully, and play better. Because they could trust their field. Like, there's nothing worse for me as an athlete than going on a field and it's like dodgy conditions. You're like, man, I can't trust the cut. I can't trust myself. But when you go on a field where you can and you know it, and those kids knew it, like, you know, that translates to wins. Like, that helps them achieve and be the best athlete they can be. So to me, that is so cool to hear. There were that many. I knew, you know, the quarterback, I knew some of them, but not six.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like six top. And we had plenty other ones in there in the mix, you know, younger talent that are still coming up. I think that's probably the coolest part about my job is being able to show those kids like the impact they can have on the game, you know, before they even step on the field as an athlete, you know?
That's so really neat.
It's something where you don't get that anywhere else. You know, some people in college athletics get to talk to players and have them help you, but like at the same time, like not fully be sort of enthralled in the idea of this is how you manage Bermuda grass, or even know that it's Bermuda grass you're playing on, right?
Most people don't care.
Yeah,
and we gotta educate them too. That's the other thing.
I think we're doing an okay job, and I think we're trying our best to. And it's not just our school. I got an email today from an athletic director in our county that I work with closely. That they're probably gonna be redoing their field too. It's just working to give them the knowledge, you know, and giving them the opportunity and. I do way too many things for free for people, but it is what it is.
it takes time, but it's worthwhile.
For sure, for sure. And my thing about it is like to see them care as much as we care is something that, I mean, Shout out Rittenour. Love you, man. It's they will take everything that you give them. They'll run with it, and they will like hold it tight to make sure that everyone is aware of it and everyone has that same opportunity. And it's incredible to be able to come back to it and have like, okay, yeah, this is real. Like, not just in like coming to the conference. Obviously, we love seeing everybody and everybody knows what everyone's doing. You know, I'm so excited to see the people. I'm just, all my friends and everything, seeing you obviously. And it's great to have that, to be able to have someone who's not there and in a role that should be invested in it and have them absolutely love it and take such great pride in it. I remember him as a baseball coach. I played against him when I was in high school. He was the coach at a school, and he was always on his field, making sure it was good to go, trying to understand better, like how to maintain it. And it's obviously some baseball coaches have that, but being able to do that and have an impact and understand that, like, there are people out there who can help you, you know?
Everybody needs an advocate, man. And so we need people that are not in this industry to teach as many of those as we can. And when you make those people advocates for our industry and they understand how much time and effort you put into, I mean, we do a really bad job of like, the field just kind of shows up in the end and we don't show them the 100 hours that we worked that week.
Yeah.
Show them the 100 hours, like make them an advocate and tell them why it's worthwhile and how much pride they'll get out of it. And you do that with ADs and coaches and teachers and administrators and layman parents.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be amazed at the support you'll get.
I think the funniest thing, like, it's sometimes like coaches don't actually mean to do it, but at the same time they do. There was a tweet by our football coach, like, this was dirt 80 days ago. Well, it was like a final shot before the first game. I was like, I'll take it, I guess.
Yeah. We're getting there. Like, that's better than getting the tweet right. Like, I've never seen, I'm sure he's tweeted about your film before, but like, that's the difference, right? Like, you're having him have an impact, but he's got 6 kids on your field.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it matters to him. Mm-hmm. I hope there's 10 kids in your program that are on the football team next year. Like, incremental, you know, steps that we take while we educate people, like, that makes a difference. So then you can go, hey, coach, here's what was involved in that. Because he doesn't know. He's doing football things, and he's doing non-field stuff.
Yeah.
But we got to educate and inform people. And when we do that, then they go, wow. You know, look how much science, look how much effort, look how much pride you took in this, and look what you accomplished with a bunch of living plants.
Yeah.
Every single week.
I think that's the coolest part about our job is people don't realize that, you know, it's a living organism.
It'll die very, very quickly.
Yeah. If you don't do what needs to be done, it's gone, you know?
Very quick.
You know, so a couple last thoughts on the growing and everything. From someone who is very invested, very involved, but not there, what was sort of your take on how we did, what we did? And again, be critical. Like, I want to know, what is it that from a distance were you able to sort of perceive what was happening, what we can do? Like, just sort of like how you saw it go down in your own head, because I tried to keep you updated with certain times. Like, I'm like running around, my head cut off, and you know that. Like, it's just, there's so many people involved, and I wanted to let you and Will know, and I swear, Will, I was not ignoring you, and I wasn't not calling you. I swear. I love you, man. I appreciate
Shout out
you.
Will Snell.
I appreciate everything you did. I was not ignoring you, I promise. But I like trying to keep you guys updated. What was it like for you guys to see sort of all of it unfold?
It was great, because in a lot of ways we planned for it, and then in a lot of ways to see you overcome some monkey wrenches that came out of nowhere that were a lot tougher than I think we would say an ordinary grow in. You got a lot of things put on you, and your kids got to see a lot of adjustments, even more so than the average high school. Like, we knew certain things were going to happen and we planned for them, but then there's just a certain amount that you can't plan for. And that's where the art and that's where the diligence to stick to what we said we were going to do. And so in that way, like, watching it, I was really impressed, and that's the level of success when you say mission accomplished. Like, that for me, that's the process that made it happen. So you stuck to the plan. We adjusted off of things that were out of our control, variables, and then we pushed through, because there's certain things I'm like, yeah, man, I'd have been throwing wrenches. Yeah, like, I'd have been cussing people out. but you didn't, you mm-hmm. know, like you stuck the course and you tried to do the best you could with it to teach all the kids that you have on this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. And now forever, they'll be able to see that whether they stay in this industry or not. I hope they all do, but I hope they all get a chance to go through some sort of growing again, but yeah. they'll be able to rely upon this and see that. So from our end, it was extremely successful mm-hmm. because of how you adjusted. But at the same time, we stuck to our plan in the beginning. Yeah. You know, we had a foundation. We kept to it as best we could. But looking back on it, seems pretty typical for a high school grow-in. It's just kind of the way it is.
Very true. Very true. It was definitely, definitely that. I mean, and I can't thank you enough. I hope we did justice by Iron Cutter. 100%. National Field of the Year.
Field of the Year. Had to, can't say that enough. Our first.
Had to get Iron Cutter that first one,
our
guys.
First.
We had to do it, you know.
Thank you.
No, thank you, guys. I mean, it's been incredible, and I'm excited to continue working with you and just keep seeing everything grow. As you know, you're one of a few people that know about this. I'm not going to get into it, but the news for coming up for Brentsville Turf, it's going to be absolutely insane. So
I cannot wait for the future.
When we get that out there, we'll let you guys know. But again, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. Let's get you to bowling. Shout out to Safe Foundation.
Yeah, for all
here.
They do.
Yeah, for sure. But again, thank you so much for everything. As always, thank you're the you man. Too. Appreciate it.
Let's take a moment to acknowledge our sponsor, the Toro Company, and their Workman UTX. The Workman UTX is tough and dependable with the highest payload in its class. Rugged design, powerful performance, and unmatched versatility. It gets the job done without compromise. Visit Toro's website to learn more.